Tonight we will speak for a few minutes on intimacy with God. Every lesson has some type of angle to it, some type of vantage point that helps us in one area of life or another. Tonight, we want to look at being intimate with God and how it pays off. Anytime we put our hands to a task, reminded of what Solomon said, whatever you find your hand to do, do with all your might. As I thought about that, I thought about that passage or that song we just sung concerning Colossians 3:17. Whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, by his authority. When we consider being intimate with God, all of us want a reward. All of us want to hear, well done. But there's a beautiful life to be had before we even hear those words. If you will, I want us to turn to 2 Timothy 2, verses 19 through 21, as we begin our introductory thoughts. Here you'll see some words from the Apostle Paul talking to his son Timothy in the faith. And it's interesting that he says what he says to him. In 2 Timothy 2, verse number 19 and following, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his." That's encouraging. It's encouraging to know that God knows those who are his. There's nothing that the child of God does that is good that gets by God. There's nothing that the child of God does that is sanctified, that is holy, that gets by him. And notice what he goes on to say. "And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's how God knows those who are his. They depart from iniquity. But then notice the illustration he gives. "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver," those are things of value, "but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," those things that are not honorable, "he will be a vessel of honor," or for honor, "sanctified and useful for the master, for every good work." There are a few things that we see in these passages that intimacy is driven home. Number one, the Lord knows those who are his. Those who are vessels for honor. Those who have cleansed, notice, themselves. That's interesting. A person has to cleanse himself. This is something that the child of God has to do himself in order to become intimate with God. I believe he's talking about those who have already been cleansed from sin. Therefore, he himself, she herself, is making sure that they stay clean, that they stay in the will of God. But then notice the reward. They are vessels for honor. Who doesn't want to be honored? Sanctified, meaning set apart, and useful for the master. Jesus is our master. Prepared for every good work. Now, those three things that we see that are very powerful, and friends, intimacy pays off, because who wouldn't want to be useful for the master? I mean, we find ourselves useful in many things, but true intimacy with God results in great opportunities of service. Can you imagine having your mind filled with the Word of God and you're thinking about, how can I serve God more? How can I demonstrate that which God has created me to do? In Ephesians 2 and verse 10, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We were created for this. Philippians 1 and verse number 6, God is going to complete this work in us to the day of Christ. He's going to keep working in us. Isn't it interesting? God is working in us to work it out of us. But then, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, God uses a caveat. He uses a source, if you will, to energize us in the work. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It is the actual word of God that actually empowers us. There is a purpose for the work. So the question is this, true intimacy. How intimate do I want to be with him? Turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. In Genesis chapter 2, as we illustrate this particular point that we are attempting to make, intimacy with God pays off. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through 17, I'm not going to read all of that, but I do want to make a few points. Number one, God planted a garden. One thing that God always does, he always prepares his people for the work. He created this garden, or made this garden rather, and planted this garden for his people to be able to live in. So when he planted this garden, he gave mankind everything that they needed. One of the sources of intimacy that he gave to Adam and Eve was the tree of life. Intimacy. That oneness there where they could feed on that tree of life. It's interesting that in the end, according to Revelation 22 verses 1 and following, that tree of life is going to be awaiting us. But I want to make this particular point. God gave everything that they needed, the tree of life, which is a source of intimacy. And the Bible teaches us, remember when Eve ate of that fruit and gave it to her husband Adam, he partook of it. And God walking in the cool of the day, he's looking for them, that intimacy as well. God always wants to be around his people. But why? Why did God do all of this? A few things that I want us to bring out. Number one, he wanted the best from them. He wanted the best from Adam and Eve. He deserved that. Number two, he wanted the best out of them. Giving them the tree of life, giving them work to do. He wanted the best out of them. But number three, he wanted the best for them. Friends, nothing has changed even in the church today. The tree of life proved that God was intimate with his people. God wanted to be intimate with Adam and Eve. He wanted them to be intimate with him, meaning close. There's a great reward for this closeness. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve, they forfeited it. But God himself, it wasn't good enough. What he would do, he would take care of them. Even though he had to put them out of the garden, he still blessed them. Be fruitful and multiply. Isn't God still good? But then I want us to turn to Exodus 32 as we can continue some of these thoughts. The children of Israel are brought out of Egyptian bondage by a strong hand, a strong arm, if you will. And you remember what took place in Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 and following, they make this golden calf. And you remember it was Moses who was up there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and they don't know what took place. They don't know what had beheld of him. You know, we don't know what's going on with Moses. Let's make us a God and that brought us out of Egypt. And that's exactly what Aaron told them to do. Take off your golden earrings. Take off your golden necklaces. And here, we're going to build us a molten calf. And this is going to be the God that brought us up out of Egypt. Verse number 4. How horrific. I thought about this and how in verse number 19. Notice what took place in verse number 19 of chapter 32. So it was as soon as he came near the camp. He saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot. God was already hot. And now Moses is hot. And he cast the tablets out of his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. You know what that is metaphorically demonstrating? It is metaphorically demonstrating how Israel broke God's commandments. They broke his commandments. In essence, they broke that intimacy. God was ready to destroy his people. I brought you up out of Egypt. We had great intimacy, and now I'm ready to lead you into the promised land. But they broke that. But then notice chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. It's interesting that God always gets what he desires. And those who truly desire to be intimate with God will be intimate with God, because God wants to be intimate with his people. In verses 7 through 11, notice some things that I believe is very powerful, made me smile. Moses took his tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside of the camp. If you wanted to meet with God, if you wanted intimacy with God, you had to go to him. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. If you want to be intimate with God, you got to go to him. He has already sent his son. He's already come to us. Now God said, come to me. That's exactly what we find there. Look at verse 8. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people rose. And each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Notice the intimacy. Now, the people, God didn't know that. God had to tell us, I'm talking to Moses. He was intimate with him. And Moses was intimate with God. But I want us to take notice of something. Look at verse number 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Now, let's make a quick point. Let's go to the book of Numbers chapter 12. In Numbers chapter 12, we notice something about this great man of God. And friends, I believe this is a very valid point, worthy of our consideration. That if a man is going to be intimate with God, a man must be humble. He must be meek, because God resisteth the proud, but he gives more grace to the humble. Notice verse 1. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed, this is the problem right here, spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. One thing that we love about the Lord, he hears everything. Aren't you glad that God hears everything you say? Aren't you glad that God sees everything you do? But then notice what he says in verse 3. Now the man Moses was very humble. I like the King James Version. It says very meek. Very meek. Why would God speak face to face with Moses? Number one, because of his humility. More than all men who were on the face of the earth, suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, so forth and so on. And notice, look at verse number 6. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. He's different. He's intimate with me, and I'm intimate with him. It's a different type of intimacy. But then go back to Exodus 33. I want us to take notice of the latter part of verse number 11. And I think this is where the lesson gets gooder and gooder. Because when we consider something, notice the latter part of this particular verse. And he would return, talking about Moses, to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. It's interesting that Joshua stayed out there, Brother Braswell. He stayed out there with God. intimate with God. God would teach him. You have to imply that. You have to imply that God was teaching Joshua, the son of Nun. And we know that there was great benefits to the relationship that God had with Joshua and that Joshua had with God. But then let's see if we can illustrate this some. Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. This would happen again. It's interesting that in 1 Samuel chapter 2, as a matter of fact, go to chapter 1, verse 20. And here we have Hannah, and she has a son. His name is Samuel. And remember that she couldn't have a child. She was barren. And then she prayed for a son, and then she had this son. And she said that, I'm going to give him to you. And after she weaned her son, she took him to God. She left him there. And every year she would come back and she would bring him a new robe. And there he would learn about God. Have a relationship with God. I want us to take notice of chapter 2. Look at verses 18 through 21. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. You know, our children are alone. Then they would go to their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Notice the intimacy. Friends, you can't grow in grace without intimacy. You can't be close to God without His word, without a commitment, without humility. But then we see something else. Look at verse number 25. Look at verse 26. And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Doesn't that sound like Jesus in Luke 2:52? Wasn't Jesus himself also intimate with his father? We'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. Go to chapter 3. Look at verses 18 through 21. And notice the reward for his intimacy with God. And friends, there is a great reward for being intimate with God, being close to God. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And notice the language here. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and none of his words fall to the ground. You know what that says? You know what that's teaching us? Braswell, that's teaching us that everything that God said, Samuel took it to heart and he didn't let it fall down. That's a reward right there. That's intimacy. But notice what he goes on to say. Verse number 20. And all of Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. It sounds like what Paul told Timothy as it relates to his lifestyle. So people can know that you are God's man. 1 Timothy 4 verses 12 through 16. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? By the word of the Lord. How does God reveal himself even to us today? By his word. It wasn't nothing miraculous back then. Here, Samuel had a relationship with God by the word. Intimacy is by the word. But let's go back. And let's look at that Exodus 33 again. Go back to Exodus 33. Let's finish up this portion of our discussion. Friends, when we consider Moses and Joshua, God knew Moses and God knew Israel. Why? Because of humility, because of his word. In Exodus 33 and verse number 16, you remember it was at this particular time that God, or Moses, I'm sorry, wanted to see the glory of God. Friends, you cannot see the glory of God without intimacy, without humility. Here in verse number 16, for how then will it be known to your people, and I have found grace in your sight? Hold on. There was grace in the Old Testament? You better believe it was. Noah found grace. The children of Israel found grace, and we can find grace as well, meaning we can find favor. Except you go with us. How do I know that the people of God had the grace of God? God went with them. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Intimacy with God means separation from that which is evil. That's intimacy with God. God doesn't share his wife. God doesn't share his people. God wants his people to be intimate with him. Verse 17. So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. There's one thing for me to think that I have God's grace. There's another thing when God tells me, you have it. Wow, I can't believe how good this stuff is. This is amazing. Anyway, let me settle down. So there's one thing when you think you're good with God. That's another thing when you read the word of God and you know you are good with him because he said it. Wow. So he wanted to see his glory. Remember that Joshua was in the tabernacle? Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. I wish I had time to read all of this. But you remember when he was in the tabernacle? And now it's time for Joshua to get to work. It's time for the reward to pay off. It's time to put all of that knowledge into practice. It's time for him to put all of that knowledge into the work of God. It's time for the people of God to cross the Jordan River and go conquer some land. Well, I'll be right where you need me to be here in a minute, but we got to keep setting this sermonic castle up. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will not leave you nor forsake you, Joshua. But what a great reward. All of that time of spending time with the Lord, and now God is telling Joshua, I'm with you. No one will stand against you. Isn't it interesting that the child of God in Romans 8 verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why do we think that everything and anything can defeat us when the Bible teaches us that's not the case? Verse 6, be strong. Notice the encouragement. Be strong, Joshua. He assures Joshua in verse number 5, now, he blesses him in verse number 6 and 7. Be strong and of good courage. Oh, even children of God. For some reason, friends, I don't think he's talking about going to the YMCA and lifting weights. I believe he's talking about the inner man, Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Be strong and of good courage. Not bad courage, like the courage of the 10 spies in the book of Numbers. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance. Notice the blessing he's going to bless them with. This is the reward. And friends, we have a reward waiting for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's either true or it's false. Notice what he says. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore. Can God lie? Hebrews 6 says he can't. To their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. There's a reward there when I just stay on the straight and narrow path. But then notice verse number 8. We see the promises in verse 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's when you know, friends, that God is with you and you're with God and you're being faithful to God. You're thinking about his word all of the time. You're putting it into practice all of the time. Joshua, the word of God is going to be in your mouth. But you shall meditate in it. That's interesting. He's going to be meditating in the word of God day and night. God, that's too much. I got other things to do. I got other places to go. And here we see that Joshua is going to be meditating in the word of God day and night in order that you may observe it. You can't observe nothing that you're not in. That's what God is telling Joshua. There's a great reward here. Great benefit here. The word of God is in his mouth. For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Hold on, there's not a person on the face of the earth that's in business that wouldn't want to hear that. Right? Is that right, Brian? All right, I'm not crazy. Who wants to go in business? I watch Shark Tank all the time, Nate. And then he'll say, man, I'm not throwing my money away investing in that. What does he mean by that? It's not worth investing in. We know right here that what Joshua has is worth investing his time and his heart into. And notice what he says in verse number 9. Have I not commanded you be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Notice the reward, friends. There's a great reward for being intimate with God. But then notice Joshua 24. I'm almost done. I wasn't even supposed to be sweating tonight when he got riled up. Look at Joshua 24, 29 through 31. What did God tell Joshua? You're going to be prosperous. You're going to be successful. You're going to inherit the land. That's exactly what took place. We see that in Joshua chapter 21. But here we see even at the end of Joshua's life in verse number 29, now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the borders of his inheritance. Hold on. God said it. It came to fruition. And notice verse number 31. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Hold on. There's a great reward for being intimate with God and stand with the leaders of the Lord. Friends, I don't see why people give up on the Lord. Joshua died faithful to God. Joshua crossed the Jordan River. He conquers the land that God promised him. He obeys the Lord and everything paid off. Few be there that find it. But lastly, let's talk about Jesus. I can't end this without talking about Jesus. You remember what Isaiah said some 700 years before the Christ was conceived? A virgin was going to conceive, Isaiah 7. And Jesus, after he was born, and he's roughly about 12 years old, and as the Bible teaches, and now he's in the temple in Luke chapter 2, and he's asking questions and being asked questions, and his parents come back, and they found him in the temple doing that. Oh, it was a great reward. The people saw him, and they heard him. They were astonished and amazed at what he knew, which means that at the age of 12, our children can know something. There's a great reward for that. But then look at John 10, verse 30. I think this is a great point in our lesson on tonight. I love this passage because it demonstrates unity, intimacy. I and my Father are one. You know, I have to ask myself that question. You have to ask yourself this question. The world who claims Christendom have to ask their question, have to ask this question, am I and the Father one? And then I got to go to the Word of God to demonstrate and prove that to myself. God could say this, Jesus could say this rather, because they were one. And Jesus was obedient even to the point of death. Jesus even died on that cross, Philippians 2 verses 8 through 11. Jesus established the church. And when he established the church, he became that sacrificial lamb so all men could have an opportunity to be a part of this great church. He is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And one day he's going to come back for all of us. And the great reward is that those of us who follow Jesus Christ with in a straight and narrow path are going to be rewarded one day. Intimacy does pay off. I said all that to say this. How intimate do you want to be? How intimate do I want to be with my wife? I'm not talking sexually. I'm talking about getting to know who she is. How close do I really want to be to the Lord? That's a scary question. You know why? Because all of us have to ask ourselves, if God is right here, where am I? You listen to the world, everybody's saved. You listen to some of these false teachers out here, there's nothing you can do to be lost. Friends, that's not true. You listen to God, everybody can be saved, and no one has to be lost. Why? Because I want to be intimate with everybody. Maybe you're not a child of God. How intimate do you think you can be without God? There is no intimacy without Jesus Christ. Believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. That's how you become intimate with God, by turning away from sin and then obeying the gospel by being baptized into Christ. But maybe a child of God and you haven't been intimate. Friends, intimacy is the key to a great relationship. As we stand, as we sing the Savior's invitation.